And now we hear from Jan Hocken and Denise Morris reviewing the new film Wonder Woman.
Thank you, Lori. Yes, this is Denise Morris and Jan Hocken this morning. We did see Wonder Woman, and it was loud and wild and interesting, and it's swirling with controversy.
We're not
in
sure
and outside.
How wonderful it was.
We're not sure. Yeah, wonderful. Nice. The film was directed by Patty Jenkins, and it stars Gal Gadot, infamously now Israeli actress, and Chris Pine with his baby blues. He does have pretty eyes. Yeah. The Wonder Woman of 2017 is the origin story of the iconic DC comic book superhero. And Wonder Woman, first appearing in 1941, was created by an American psychologist and writer, William Moulton Marston. And Marston drew inspiration from early feminists. The Amazonian warrior was sculpted from clay by her mother, Queen Hippolyta, and she was given life and superhuman powers as gifts by the Greek gods. Initially, Wonder Woman's golden age, she had her crime-fighting origins taking place during World War II, as she wins the right to return Steve Trevor to his, quote, man's world homeland, and so that she can fight crime and evil of the Nazis. Trevor is a United States intelligence officer whose plane has crashed on the Amazon's isolated island. Jenkins' Wonder Woman, however, sees her return, Steve Trevor, to the Western Front towards the end of World War I, and that is kind of a critical distinction and lends at least the potential for some interesting war talk. We have villains, we have heroes, we've got evil genius, and it's all set in a very gritty depiction of the Great War in Europe and the battlefields and trenches. And I wanted to mention for reference, Patty Jenkins is also the director of Monster, and I believe that film came out in 2003. That is the story of the narrative film telling the story of Eileen Warnes, who was the former prostitute convicted of a series of murders and executed in Florida in 2002.
Also
and that was
previously reviewed.
Also
by the
previously,
movie
if you want to dig back to 2002, we did review that and found it to be a very interesting film,
yes.
Actually.
Yes.
But Patty Jenkins' femaleness, her status as woman in the world, and the female-centered film, its feminism and subversion of the more male-centered superhero film counterparts has really dominated the public discourse. And so we're going to try to unpack that as well as look at some of the other concerns in the film that haven't been addressed as much. So Jan, starting with the creator, William Moulton Marston.
Also inventor of the lie detector test.
Ooh, good one.
Yeah.
He was a psychologist, and you're a psychologist, and this is the second time in a row we've reviewed a film that has psychology in it. Huh. Get Out was our last, so we're going to put you up to talk about psychology and the female superhero.
Well, he wasn't a Freudian, but there are some elements of this film that I think follow lines of psychoanalysis and depth psychology even during his lifespan. The idea that masculinity and hypermasculinity is a defense against a certain anxiety that women don't really need them, that women are stronger, so women have to be cast as dependent and vulnerable and needy because they're really not. and so this film kind of plays with, and some of my favorite moments are when it plays with that theme, gets overridden by a lot of the other action films that, and it's a problem with this idea of the natural superiority of women. If you take it too far, it kind of turns into its opposite, where the natural superiority of women is just that they really, really are like men or better men underneath their skirts. But it
a more pure violence.
A more pure, right.
Advanced, more skilled. Yeah.
That's right. But there are a couple moments where this works very effectively, where our heroine is on a boat with what emerges as the male hero. And she's read a number of volumes of classical text on sexuality. So she knows about human sexuality. She says, well, actually, as it turns out, the conclusion is that men are required for reproduction, but not for pleasure.
Right.
And so there are many ways in which the film plays on that idea, the love among women, and but the solidaristic ties among women are pretty much overridden in the course of the film by the romantic tie as she enters the world of men. She's kind of on her own and really requires the support of these other ragtag group of guys. But on the other hand, the chief architect of the in reality, the horrific chemical warfare mustard gas used by the Germans the First World War was a woman scientist. So you at least have one evil woman.
Right. I think one
that weaponry.
One reviewer said it was equal opportunity, you know, and that was a sign of subversive feminism, that you have to have, I mean, evil women have as much opportunity as any to be evil.
But they were tokens. So in a way, it's that the female characters were kind of a pure form of evil, a pure form of good, amidst the humanity of men that was more of a mixed company in terms of morality. And I think this idea that he drew inspiration from early feminists, one of his two wives, life partners, was the niece of birth control pioneer Margaret Sanger, and he was apparently very much admired the suffragists and their militants during the first period of the First World War. And it, you know, it would have been interesting to set the film in that history of actual feminist struggle rather than a mythologized past of that never did exist, the fantasy of a matriarchal, pre-patriarchal society. But of course, that's comic book conventions all drawn mythology.
You have to have a paradise, Jan. The film really does walk a line, and where actually I think there's less mythical than there is really kind of, I mean, it's very much set in this world that's depicted, I think, with a lot of grit and a lot of detail in terms of the
first
savages of the war, right?
Yeah.
And so while it is a Marvel film, and there's lots of Marvel-esque, you know, comic book elements to it, there's a sense of realism to it that kind of offsets all of the rest of that. But, you know,
and skillfully done. Mm-hmm. But I mean, the First World War had unfolded with massive protests. So you have this film where she discovers, and her world falls apart, that Ares, the god of war, is not the entire. It's not the whole of war isn't determined by the god of war. She kills him. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
But then the machinery of war goes on. So then the second line of argument is that people are inherently evil. Mm-hmm. So if it's not just a god or a devil determining war, then what causes it? And so that's
right.
Second spoiler alert, people
right.
are bad.
Yeah, people are bad. And there's a lot that revolves around questions of truth and love and honor and duty and all of this kind of stuff, which leads people to talk about the film as whether or not it's actually an anti-war film or not. But most of that gets really kind of drowned out Well, if the World War I was irrational, it seems to me that a lot of the response, in some sense, to the film is sort of irrational, because people are we so starved for films with women in them that we are going to manage to overlook some very serious concerns about how we reproduce over and over again this sensibility and ideological perspective about war and human nature.
Yes.
And without being able to make a true case as an anti-war film, you can show us the ravages of the war, but as long as there's a true enemy, then the reflection back on our own social, economic, political circumstances can't lead us to really dig deep and say, you know, look, war is this messy, messy thing. And in order to really confront it, we do need more than a superhero. And Wonder yeah. Woman says, well, it's not just one hero, but there's nothing else there. There's no look at
other than love.
Right.
And it played with this rationale that's ancient and still has tremendous currency, that the aim is peace, But war is the means of getting there. No one loves war, but we have to have war to end all war. And of course, the Great War was supposed to be the First World War, the war to end all wars. And then you see all of this celebratory post-war festivity and flag waving in London. And actually, there was enormous protest after the First World War about, in Britain, by soldiers, of all of the government and the political class that sent them to war and suffered massive deaths. So there's no sense of protest within war. It's all a kind of the machinery of war marches on because people are evil, and that a woman who's a more rational fighter may be the way to prevail. I mean, it was in some ways a very reactionary movie and pro-war movie.
Yeah, I agree. And even some of the stuff that is entertaining and catchy, you know, her complete dedication to this idea that there's a force that can be destroyed leads her to do what she does in a number of scenes in which she just perseveres. No one can tell her what to do or not to do, which
right.
is sort of a funny, I mean, it's sort of interesting because isn't that always that's the dream of probably every woman to just have the uh-huh. guys shut up and leave me alone
this,
or whatever.
This like, girl kicks major butt.
I'm going to do this, yeah. Only to right. find out that
he's always trying to discipline her and she refuses
right,
to discipline.
Right, and that
yeah.
he has some understanding, or he says at one point, I can save the day, but you can save the world. And so there's the, you know, final.
The future's feminine.
Yeah.
Is yeah. that idea. And but there are also debates about this ideal woman prototype. And in some ways, she's not as bad as many. I mean, the camera focuses on her activity, her face, the movement, and doesn't linger pornographically mm-hmm. on her body. But there have also been debates about this woman, this white woman, as a kind of ideal too.
And well, right, the whiteness in the movie and the use and the tokenism of black characters, particularly the one reviewer talked about the mammy character who is the caretaker of the young Wonder Woman when she's 8 years old and can't control her, and you know it's just it's not, you know, it's all there and it's all true. It's not, it's again, you know, a film where white womanhood is dominant
rules.
And then there is no getting away from the reality that that the actress position as a supporter of the attack on Palestinians in Gaza in 2014 is publicly
documented. Gal Gadot,
yeah,
who plays
and
Wonder Woman.
That there's how do you avoid the hypocrisy of the character crying out for on the behalf of children, but only certain children?
Again, yeah, when this is a film that is mm-hmm. itself about war,
right? And all children, all people, whatever it is. I mean, she of course is taking the position of Israel as being the constant and perpetual victim of, you know, the Palestinians, and that has caused an enormous amount of strife. And we need to wrap up here, Jan. We are reviewing Wonder Woman.
Trying to get a bootleg.
Yeah, get a bootleg. Don't go. Don't pay for it. This is Denise Morris and Jan Hocken for The Old Mole.